Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. We'll have a gay old time. Hey everybody, welcome to ANCAST. I'm Zach Burchie. Joining me this week to shoot the breeze is Justin Tsevegas.
Howdy.
And Bamboo is here as well.
Hi everyone.
Thanks for coming on, you guys.
Absolutely.
Always here anyway, so.
Well, I mean, Justin probably doesn't feel like you've been on the show in a while because we did those 280 shows, that was a month ago.
God, that was a month ago?
It was like 3 weeks ago, yeah. Almost about a month. But it's been a little while in Bamboo. I don't think you've been here in a long time.
A couple months, maybe?
No, you were on that sexism episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so before we dive into anime, I'm curious, have you guys seen any good movies or TV or anything lately? Bamboo?
You know what? I haven't seen any good movies lately, but I will tell you that I was dragged out by my girlfriends to go see Titanic in 3D.
Oh, yes.
And the video transfer is terrible. So basically everything looks really hazy. Everything looks really smoky. And the way that they did the 3D, basically any type of fast pan is just like just a blur. It looks terrible. So, Zach, I know you were dying to see Titanic 3D, and I'm sorry I went without you, but I would caution you to not see it.
No, I did see it.
Oh, well then.
I didn't have that experience that you did, though. Like, the 3D was barely noticeable, but it was completely unnecessary. But I didn't... The panning wasn't any blurrier than it normally is in that movie.
Maybe you just got a crappy theater, Bamboo. Yeah.
It's possible. How was the transfer on yours? Because, like,
it
looked like... Oh, man, I don't know if I just watched it in bad theater because, like, I felt like I needed to rub fog off my glasses the whole time.
I would say that you probably had projection issues because say what you will about James Cameron's movies. He is a ridiculous perfectionist and wouldn't let something that looks bad like you're describing actually get released. Like, that is one thing you can say about him, even if you hate his movies or whatever. They don't look like shit. And he doesn't really let them look like shit. So, yeah.
Your fault,
What's
Bamboo.
Really happening is that Zach was just so taken by his trip down memory lane that he didn't notice any of the problems.
I think you're right. The tears in my eyes.
It's true. They were washing away the haze from the transfer.
It never ceases to shock me how that movie is pure, pure tragedy porn. Like, if they made a movie like that about 9/11, people would not see it.
Well, you have to wait 100 years.
You have to wait 100 years. But I'm saying, like, if you think about it in that context, like, if you were a survivor of that, and that movie came out when there were still living survivors, and you saw it, and there's all these, like, tragedy porn angles, like, the cameras, like, you're watching dudes bounce off of stuff, and it's almost like it's sort of gleefully documenting the various horrible ways people were dying on this thing. Like, it's total pornography. Like, it's really disrespectful. I mean, I still love that movie, but imagine. Like, I can't even imagine them making a movie in that style for 9/11. Like, that would just be ridiculous.
Well, there was also, like, the whole romanticism of Titanic does not apply to the World Trade Center.
Well, no, but you could make that exact same movie. Like, if you think about it.
But they do the same thing with World War II. Like, there's so much just, like, Nazi porn, basically.
Yeah, like, dudes getting stabbed. I mean, it's always... Well, that's a little different, though, because that's Nazis getting killed. Not, like, Americans. Like, when Americans die, it's properly framed as being really tragic. But Titanic totally has, like, this... Check out this dude bouncing off the propeller! Check him out, yeah. Like... You know,
yeah,
hitting the
rails
or whatever.
That always rubbed me the wrong way, to be honest.
It as well it should. It's pretty fucked up when you think about it.
Well, like that, you know those big 70s high-budget disaster porn movies like Towering Inferno and Poseidon Adventure?
Airport, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what makes me think of those. And those are like low class affairs.
Yeah.
But at the same time, those got Oscars too.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're right. So I think we're just seeing Hollywood being Hollywood.
Well, none of them ever became the highest grossing film of all time for a solid 10, 12 years.
Towering Inferno did really, really, really well.
Titanic had a $600 million domestic gross. Domestic. That's the U.S. gross.
It's a little weird now.
Nothing's Titanic.
But when I watched this movie again, like, okay, so the movie came out, I was in like maybe seventh grade. And watching it again, I'm now struck with the realization of how terrible all the dialogue is. Mm. And I don't think I really noticed that when I was in seventh grade.
Oh, yeah. It's real ham-fisted.
Oh,
seventh
my God.
Graders generally don't notice those things.
But now watching it again, like, I can't appreciate it at all because you're watching it and you're just like, every single line is like, foreshadowing, wink, wink, nudge.
Yeah.
Like I was really bored when I saw that in the theater when it came out. In fact, I remember the big dramatic death scene at the end, literally just mentally translating Japanese subtitles for it all just to amuse myself, just because there was nothing going on screen that was even remotely interesting.
Justin, you just have a cold, cold heart.
Well, that aside, it's boring.
I mean, I love that movie. It's old school filmmaking. It's very much in the style of, you know, big sort of dumb epic movies that Hollywood used to make in like the 40s and 50s. You know, it's that old style combined with the kind of 70s disaster movie sort of thing. It's kind of an amalgamation of everything that's ever been really, really successful just in one thing. I can't help but love it. And it's also really well constructed. It really moves quick. Like, I don't think it's boring at all. Like, it goes, it starts and then it's done, like, pretty quick. I totally acknowledge that my love of that film is weird. I acknowledge that it is not really a fantastic movie. I just love it. Like, there's something about it that's got a particular quality.
It's a Celine Dion song, isn't it?
You're right. No, that's not true. But I don't know. Justin, you see anything?
I saw Jeff Who Lives at Home.
Oh, I mean, see that. How was that?
Really, really freaking good.
Really?
Okay. It probably going to be on my top five list for the year.
Already? Okay, shit.
Yeah. It's the directors, the Duplass brothers, the guys who made Cyrus.
Yeah.
Which was one of my favorite movies 2 years ago. Mm. This basically it's barely a comedy. And it takes, what's his name? Jason Segel. And Ed Helms as a pair of dysfunctional grown brothers. Jason Segel is the stoner who lives at home and just kind of believes in this, you know, listen to the universe type of thing. And Ed Helms is the asshole alpha male who doesn't treat his wife real nice and has delusions of grandeur. And it's one day that is just awful. And how basically it slowly turns around to be the best day of their lives. And it is indescribably, but very subtly moving. And it was kind of like, it's barely comedy, but it is so heartwarming and so gently life-affirming that it's really, really good. And Ed Helms, surprisingly, is a very good dramatic actor.
He's a great dramatic actor, actually. He was, He's done a lot of these type of, like, I guess I want to call them like light comedy / drama roles. Like, did you ever see Cedar Rapids?
No.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
That's a good film too. That's a comedy, but it's also like, you know, it's not just like, you know, his typical Ed Helms comedy. Like, there's a lot of darker undertones there too. I mean, I think he's a phenomenal actor.
Yeah. So Cedar Rapids was, again, one of those things billed heavily as a comedy, not really that much of a comedy.
Right.
You know, it is a comedy, but it's not. Yeah, it sort of exists between two genres there. I would say it's almost more drama than comedy, especially towards like the last half.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's really good in it. Yeah. No, he's good.
Well, anyway, one of my it's definitely going to be on my top five for this year. I think it's that good.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that. I think I missed the short window that it was playing here because the last month of my life has been a shit show. But where I can barely leave the house. But I did get out of the house this last week, and I saw Cabin in the Woods.
Oh yeah, I saw your raves about that on Twitter.
Yeah, it's, you know what, it's just so much fun. And knowing anything about it, that's the thing about this movie. No one who's seen it, who wants to recommend it, wants to tell you anything about it, because knowing nothing about it going into it makes it so much more fun. It's all about the twists and turns in the storylines, and the trailers tell you a little bit, but not that much, and it's best to just know nothing. And I had a blast. Like, I was just laughing and just enjoying the way this story was going. Like, it is a super fun time at the movies. And if you're into horror movies, this is going to be fun. If you don't like horror movies, I think it would probably still be fun. I think you'd probably still have a good time, especially if you're, you know, familiar with the tropes that are in horror movies. But one thing I can say that's a little, it's not so much a spoiler, but it will tell you whether or not you want to see this. It pretends to be meta commentary on horror, and then completely turns that on its ear. It's meta. Which is really weird. Yeah, but I really dug it. Like, I really am happy I went to see it. I would see it while it's in theaters, but again, go into it thinking like, I'm gonna have a good time, and not much else, but I am gonna have a good time.
Right.
That's the thing. So anime.
Anime.
Obviously, spring preview just wrapped up a couple of days ago, and there's a lot to talk about.
There's so many shows.
Yeah, we got a lot of questions for you, Bamboo, about how exactly it is you're going to handle this.
I don't know.
We're still trying to figure that out. But before we get into the spring season, Justin, I don't know if you've seen anything from the spring season. We can get to that in a little bit, but you have been watching something, and I did want to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. I've been sitting out the spring season because I will get to those shows, but I don't want the shrapnel to hit me from the spring preview guide. It's just one of those things where you see it happening, you're just like, I'm just going to wait a little bit. So instead, I decided to go some old school shoujo and some sports. I watched Major, which is a baseball anime that went for 6 seasons and a movie and an OVA, and it's cute and not very good.
Here's my big question. What is Major about? I know it's about baseball, but what's the story? Because, like, I watched all that Touch for the 80s shows, and I really want to know what Major is actually about.
A kid who is raised by a single dad who's a pro baseball player really, really wants to be like his dad. Dad dies tragically in the game.
What?
Wait, in a game?
Yeah, he...
Like, he's hit by a baseball?
Literally, I looked this... Yes, he gets hit in the head by the scary American pitcher that they brought in.
Oh, shit. I wish the Rockies had a pitcher like that.
Well, I was so appalled that they actually pulled that trope for this that I actually looked it up and I was like, has anyone ever actually died in baseball from being hit in the head?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
No!
Yes!
That has not happened.
Yes, it has.
It has not happened. I looked it up.
Dude, I looked, like, people have gotten, like, serious concussions and then died a few days later.
Seriously? You need to go on Wikipedia right now and correct that entry, because that, regardless, I couldn't believe they went there. And even if it wasn't enough of suspension of disbelief, it was kind of handled so ham-fistedly and poorly that they just didn't know how to make drama out of that somehow. And apparently the subsequent seasons just follow this kid throughout his life as he gets older and older and becomes an actual pro baseball player himself. But it was just handled so poorly. It just couldn't rise above mediocrity for me, so I gave up on it. And so then I switched to the opposite extreme, hardcore shoujo. I went for Bokura ga Ita, which was a soppy high school romance show from a few years ago now, actually, that was directed by Akitaro Daichi, who I love, and totally dropped the ball with this one.
Really?
Yeah, this show should have been it might not have even had enough plot for 12 or 13 episodes. It might have been, you know, maybe a 6-part OVA. 26 episodes.
Wow.
There are whole episodes. There are episodes that at least a third of the footage is slow pan flashbacks. It is excruciating. And I, because I'm such a sucker for this shit, I still went through 20 episodes before I gave up.
Yeah. Wait, you got through 20 and it's 26?
Leave me alone.
I mean, at that point, why don't you just say fuck it and finish the bag?
Because it was getting so frustrating because they were so clearly out of plot and out of things for the characters to do that they were just spinning and they're in place. And, you know, oh, I don't know. I'm still too nervous. What if he still likes this other girl? I'm angsty guy, so I'm just going to mope and I can't assert myself. And it would just happen over and over. And finally, it's not a matter of being bored at this point. It's a matter of wanting to throw all the characters off a tall building.
Wow. Okay.
Although I completely understand the mindset of dropping a show right before the end, because at some point, like, dropping a show, you know, you think about it for a while. You're like, oh, you know, I've been watching it for so long. But finally, just like it clicks one day. And then you're just like, if I watch another minute of the show, I will jump off a bridge.
Yeah, so, I mean, once you realize the show is just, it's not going to do anything constructive with your time, why would you feed it more?
I agree. Although,
look, I get it. I'm just saying, like, you made it 20, you made it, it's like making it to the last, like, you know, half mile of a race and saying, fuck this.
It's making it to the last mile of the race and realizing that the road you're on actually leads to a dungeon.
Oh, right. That's a good, I like that analogy. That's good.
Although, Justin, you do love bad anime. And actually, not too long ago, you and I sat through an amazing OVA from like the late 80s.
Oh, not even. Oh, yeah. God, what was that called? Oh, yeah. It was Harper Light Story from Fashion Lala. God, the name just the name cracks me up.
So everyone who's seen Fancy Lala, this was like
a shitty prototype version.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like, it's one episode. It's like 40 minutes long, something like that. And not only does it start with an amazing, like, 80s dance battle, but also in the course of this 40 minutes, there are some, like...
It completely justifies terrorism.
Stadiums blow up. There are...
Blown up by the love interest, who gets off scot-free because the girl dances awesomely and it moves everyone.
Right, like, he actually sets off bombs in a packed stadium, but that's, like, romantic or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I got to write a buried garbage about that, because it is so mind-blowingly stupid.
Justin, I wanted to mention that there's a Yankees player. Actually, no, I was just kidding. He played for Cleveland, who was hit in the head by a pitch thrown by Yankees pitcher Carl Mays and actually died.
When was this?
Raymond Johnson Chapman, who died in 1920.
Oh, yeah. It happened before they made the players wear helmets.
Exactly. So, like, people have...
This took place now.
Okay, the guy's just a really good pitcher.
I mean, in terms of, like, tragedy in sports anime, that does seem kind of over the top. But I don't know why. Like, I don't know why that strikes me as being, like, shit, really? When most sports anime has some kind of ridiculous over-the-top tragedy in it. So, at least it seems that way. It seems like a lot of sports anime has a lot of, like, tragic death that happens in the first, like, third of the show.
Or Friday Night Lights in episode one.
Well, there you go, right? See, so I guess that's like a formula.
Yeah.
Sports, anything has to involve tragedy. Like, fictional sports thing has to involve tragedy. Okay. All right, so I guess we gotta get to the spring season. Which, gotta admit, like, more stuff this time around that I'm excited about and will actually watch week to week than usual.
Obviously, Kids on the Slope.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
But I'm curious. So, Justin, you didn't watch anything.
Well, no. I had my eye on a few things from doing Spotlight, but I just, yeah, not right now. Can't do it right now.
Right. You gotta hold off. But so, Bamboo, I mean, what are you thinking?
You know what? There's actually some really solid stuff. Kids on the Slope, which we briefly touched upon, I assume we'll talk about later, is a really solid show. I mean, it looks phenomenal, first of all. Like, I just – visually, I just love looking at that show. But also, I've really been enjoying Space Brothers, which I think is also pretty cool. It's an anime about these two brothers. When they're younger, they think they see a UFO. But at that point in their lives, they make a pact that they will someday be astronauts and go into space. Flash forward into the present. The younger brother is, like, you know, the first, like, Japanese astronaut that's going to be on the moon or whatever. And his brother basically, like, just got fired from his job. He's just a total deadbeat. And I just find that character to be, like, really realistic and relatable. Like, I think the older brother character is such a well-written character that, like, by the end of the first episode, I was completely sold on this show.
And I think I was one of the few people who was kind of like, meh. And that's sort of because it felt like the first 20 minutes of a movie. And I guess it actually is... like, that part of the story kind of is the first 20 minutes of the movie, because this is a live-action thing in Japan as well. And I guess it's based on a novel or a comic or something, but I'm looking forward to that. I kind of want to see where opinion falls at the end of that one, and then I'll go back and watch it if people say it's really good. But I did get there's a quality vibe to it, and the story does seem neat. It is a pretty interesting story.
Yeah, I mean, I think the story's interesting. I think the style of it is also really fun. It's like it's a little quirky. You know, as a serious subject matter, but like the way they do it is in such like a very, I guess, like a cutesy, quirky kind of way. Like there's a scene that I really love from the first season, or sorry, from the first episode, where the older brother's trying to look for jobs and like everyone's shutting him down. So he finds himself just kind of just really just depressed, forlorn at a McDonald's. And there's this amazing scene where like he finishes his meal. And there's, like, this one little crusty little shitty fry, like, at the corner of his tray. And he's, like, staring at it. He's like, man, I really want to eat that fry. But he, like, looks around the room. And he's just like, like, I don't want anyone to, like watch me eat this shitty little fry that's on the corner of my plate. Like, but he does anyway. And I think it's such a great scene. Because, like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, man, my life sucks so hard. But I still don't want people to think that my life is in such a place that, like, I can't not touch the last scrap of my like McDonald's meal, you know.
Yeah, that, like the show is built around the personality of the lead, and the lead is very likable. It's a likable, relatable character. You're just kind of rooting for him right off the bat, and so it's a good idea for a story. I'm just really curious where it's going to go, but I guess it's going to be real short. I think it's going to be a real short anime. It's like 10 or 12 or something like that. I don't know.
something like that.
But anyway, you know, that's a good one. That was like right. That was the first show that came out. That was 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks ago at this point. And that was a promising start. And in spite of, you know, all the trash that's out there, I do think this is shaping up to be a pretty good season. But,
well, any season with Upokte.
We'll get to that stuff. Right. But
damn it.
What?
Trying to chime in with what I know here.
Yeah.
Have you guys watched Polar Bear Cafe yet?
See, here, I have not. I really need to watch that show. Everyone is saying it's really fun and cute, and I totally want to watch it. I just haven't gotten to it yet. But talk about that a little bit.
It's so adorable. Okay, here's the thing. I have to admit up front that if it weren't so cute, it would be really fucking boring. Like if you replace the characters with humans, it would be a terrible show.
Yeah.
But it's like, very basically, it's a story about a panda cub who comes to work at a cafe run by a polar bear. And what's so great about it is, like, this is obviously a show made for people who really love animals, not just because of animal characters, but, like, even the way that they draw all the animals, like, the way like, the animals are almost, like, photorealistic. Like, they look really good. And they have the same mannerisms that you would see, like, in the wild, like, you know, like the panda will just be sitting there and then he'll just like fall down and roll over, you know. It's like things like that, and that, you know, people are, it's like watching, it's like being stuck in a YouTube spiral is how I feel about watching Polar Bear Cafe.
YouTube spiral being when you click on a kitty video and then you click on another
click on another one, and then you're just like, oh, red pandas, click. Oh, sea turtles, click. Like,
duckies.
That's kind of what the show is like.
I'm gonna watch duckies for an hour. Yeah.
Flying squirrel, click.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand that. I do really want to get to it. It seems like I'm not surprised that it got picked up. for streaming anyway, but I do. That's the one I kind of regret not getting to.
It's cute. I really don't know who the target audience is, to be honest with you, because it's a little boring for kids. And there's so many like shitty puns that I kind of feel like it might be for old men sometimes. Like, it's just a really bizarre show. Like, it's cute, but it's, I don't know, it's like, it's not that fun, but it's, I don't know, it's weird.
I have a feeling, based on the materials I've seen, that it might be aimed at office women, and they'll try to, like, market handbags with those characters or something.
Oh, that would be adorable.
I wish I knew when it, I wish I knew off the top of my head, anyway, when it aired, because that would tell us everything.
Right.
I don't know when it aired. It can't be a late night show, right?
Oh, actually, I actually have it in front of me. I'll just look it up for you.
So there was that, so Polar Bear Cafe, and then what else did you really like?
Hold on real fast. So Polar Bear Cafe, actually, it airs Thursday afternoons at 5:30 p.m.
Who is... Okay. I'm not going to pretend to know enough about Japanese television demographics.
On TV Tokyo. Yeah.
To know that why that airs then.
And no one's going to be home yet.
Everyone's
still commuting. So unless it's people who are already at home, like they're home from school, stay-at-home moms, I have no idea. Who the hell is home at 5:30 p.m.?
Me, but I work from home.
It's just an entire nation of Zach Birchies watching Panda Cafe, like stroking their rabbits.
God damn it, Bamboo. Don't make me visualize that. Yeah, no, 5:30 p.m. That's a tough, I really have no idea who that's aimed at. I guess housewives or something.
Yeah, some gotta be. I don't know.
But anything else other than that?
Those are the ones that immediately stand out. Like, there's been a bunch of other shows that I've been, I guess, entertained by. But a lot of them I'm still like, just holding out, you know, see if anything gets better. There's some that I just don't like, flat out don't like, or pretty much can't wait to never watch again.
There's always that stuff. It seems like we're kind of getting good and bad almost in equal measure.
Yeah.
This time around. I meant to watch, but did not watch Rock Lee and his Ninja Pals. Just after you know, going through everyone's reviews, sounds kind of miserable.
It's terrible.
Like, it's a gag show for little kids, right?
Yeah, but it's also a gag show that reminds you every 5 minutes who Naruto is. Like, they'll be like, oh, for viewers who don't know, Naruto is the star of his own show. And you're just like, dude, what the fuck? Like, obviously, otherwise I wouldn't be watching this fucking spinoff. I don't know why they feel the need to, like, qualify every single thing with, like, oh, this chap over here is Rock Lee. He's a ninja, but he doesn't have powers. I'm just like, what? I know.
Well, so is it like Muppet Babies, where it's like little kids that are sort of context-free doing shit?
Not really. It kind of feels like the before the Chunin exam of the series, you know, when like everyone just had to like run around doing missions, like that's kind of what it feels like, except it's not entertaining, it's not interesting, it's not funny, and it's just like just stupid gag jokes. Like Rock Lee will suddenly like take off his clothes and he's wearing a two-piece swimsuit or something. So, like,
okay.
There's some context that's necessary, because there's a lot of jokes that are, you know, would reference things that are in the show, but they still, like, they explain the jokes afterwards. Like, they'll show you a joke, and they'll be like, oh, hey, kids, the reason why that's funny is this.
Wow.
It's
that,
awful.
I mean, that sounds like, that sounds painful.
That sounds like watching 10-year-olds do stand-up. Where, you know, they're not quite sure where the joke is, so they're just trying to explain everything.
That's another home run, Dustin. You're on fire with the metaphors tonight. That's a really good way of putting it. That sounds absolutely horrible, and I have absolutely no interest in Naruto anymore at all anyway, but I was curious as to what it is that was. That sounds terrible.
Who even is still interested in Naruto? Like, okay,
kids.
I just went to
teenagers.
SoccerCon. I guess I was 2 weekends ago, and there's already pretty much no more Naruto cosplayers. Like, it's done. It's over. People no longer care.
I think it's entered the Dragon Ball Z stage, like late stage Dragon Ball of its life.
Which, I don't know if you saw the trailer today, but you can now play Dragon Ball Z for the Kinect.
Yeah, No, yeah, we all saw that trailer. That just looks embarrassing. One of the ones I didn't get to that you did was Folk Tales from Japan, which just I looked at the art style and said, hey, I hate to be kind of closed-minded about that, but it's like, hey, little kids or something maybe commissioned by a tourism board put this together.
Yeah.
It just did not look interesting.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I don't dislike it, but I'm also not, you know, like every week waking up like, oh shit, Folk Tales from Japan.
I don't imagine anyone is. Like that would be weird if like you're the guy who like gets out of bed and goes, is there a new Folk Tales from Japan? Like really
excited. I wonder what folk tales will be told today.
Wraps himself up in a blanket, he's got his hot cocoa.
Ooh, this is my favorite one about the shrine maiden.
Tell me a story. Yeah. No, I don't know about that one. I don't think I will ever watch that. Nor do I. I mean, it's nice that they're streaming it, but yeah, whatever. But other than that, I mean, there's not a lot of crossover in terms of like what you and I both watched early on. Like Saint Seiya Omega was one of them. Which
yeah, I was okay with it.
Sure, that sure was a show.
Yeah, boy, it's sure. Oh, I love the hero with his hero stuff.
I think you could probably leave it there. There's not much more to say about it. I am surprised that like we had an opinion on Saint Seiya Omega that was not, this is the most amazing thing to have ever been, like, Saint, you know, Sayed, handed down from God himself to the earth, and didn't get a whole bunch of hate mail from South America. So that's. That's good. I'm happy about that. But they are really into Saint Seiya. So, but other than that, the standouts so far, I think, are definitely Kids on the Slope, which I'll be watching every week. I think. Which I normally don't do that. I usually wait, but I want to see that one. It seems like a good thing to check out every week.
Yeah.
It's absolutely gorgeous. Just the style, the lighting is really, really good. Like, they got that particular type of sunlight really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little overcast, but it's also reminiscent of, I don't know, like maybe what the daylight looked like in the 60s. It feels like maybe they got that right. I don't know. But the manner of it is very good. And yeah, it's, I think this is as close to like as a slice of life show as I've ever actually enjoyed.
Well, the animation is, fantastic. Like when the, Kawaru sits down and plays the piano, they actually went through the effort of like actually showing him playing the right keys.
Which is rare, I understand.
Which is rare. Like, when the other guy, like, when he's drumming, like, his movements are actually, it's matching the sound, you know, it's matching the actual drum beat, which is incredible, because most shows, it would just be him just flailing, right? And then, like, it would completely have a mismatch. But this one, like, it's actually synced perfectly with the soundtrack, and it blows my mind.
Yeah.
God, the amount of work that must be to do that on a weekly basis.
Well, I mean, even as someone, like, I watch someone play drums, and it's a blur to me anyway, but just the way they animate the hands in this thing, like, the way his hands are on the drumsticks, you can, the quality is there. Like, you can see it. It's pretty fantastic. I was really blown away by it. But not in, like, a, holy shit, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. It's like, oh, you know... Watanabe and Yoko Kanno are working together again, and look, this is what they're making now, and I'm really happy it exists.
Yeah.
Like, of course they made something amazing. Even though some a-hole in the forums posted one of these charts, I guess there's a manga, this is based on a manga, I didn't even know it was based on a manga, and somebody, like, you know, I put in my preview, you know, if there's no love triangle here, then I'll eat my hat. And then someone went into the forums and was like, oh, well, here's a chart detailing all the relationships. And basically ruined it for me. But, you know, it's in the telling. It's not necessarily in the chart. Right. So, you know, fuck that guy. But I will still enjoy the show. And not everyone reads scanslated manga out there. So maybe keep that shit to yourselves. Like,
you just don't understand the real way of enjoying the mangas.
Yeah, just fuck, fucking keep that shit to yourselves. But I am really looking forward to enjoying that show, and I don't think it's going to do really great here. It just seems like it's a little too quiet and a little too sure of itself, and it's there's nothing about it that is typically sort of anime-ish.
There's no easy marketing hook.
Yeah, there's exactly right. There's no easy marketing hook.
For people who really love West Coast jazz.
Who really love West Coast jazz and mannered, sort of slow-ish coming-of-age stories. But I found myself immediately interested in the character. Like they, the character work is all real solid. At least it feels like it. Like I want to see what where these relationships are going to go. I found myself very intrigued by that. It also feels like it's written for adults, so that's a big thing.
Yeah.
The other one that I so far am impressed with is Lupin the Third.
That was really fun.
The woman called Fujiko Mine. I watched the second episode today, which actually I think might be one of the only times I've like actually followed through with the whole like, yeah, I'm totally going to watch this as it airs, because I usually just wait. But this time I really sat down and watched episode two. And, you know, it's okay. It's pretty good. I'm enjoying it. In the second episode, she meets Jigen, and then she's naked for half the episode.
Right. You don't really sound that enthused, I have to say.
Well, I want to know where it's going. I really want to know where this show is going. I really like the art style. I love the character designs. I really like the way they've taken them. They let that guy get as stylized as he wants to, Koike. And I love what he's done with Lupin. Like, his character design for Lupin, it's kind of evil. He almost looks like the Grinch from like that Chuck Jones Grinch special from the 60s. Like he kind of looks like that a little bit. The grin that he has is just it's evil. But the second episode kind of made me think a little twice about being super enthusiastic about the show. It was sort of this really convoluted one-off sort of plot about Jigen being in love. And she's trying to steal his Magnum, his 357 Magnum. It didn't grab me. Like the story didn't really grab me.
Right.
And the visuals all seem to be. There's one thing about it that I don't really like in terms of the visuals. It's shaded in from the sides, so it's almost like someone's taken a Sharpie and just kind of like scribbled in the sides a lot, which is a weird thing to see. And I'm not sure I really like that. And because the style is the way it is, when it's cheaply animated, which is some of the time, it doesn't look great. It looks cheap. It also doesn't help that Funimation streams of it are in the lowest possible quality. Like, they look like shit.
Oh, they don't do HD?
No. Not that I could see. There was no option to make it look better, so it looked like garbage to me. But, I mean... Whatever, I'm still really interested in where it is exactly they're taking that show, and I'm captivated by the visual style of it, my quibbles aside. Yeah, I don't know, seeing the second episode, I'm like, alright, well, you know, not quite the revelation I thought it might be, but I am really interested in seeing where this is going to go, and I'm really happy it's on. So
yeah, that. I mean, it looks cool.
Well, I don't think you've gotten to it yet, right?
I have gotten to it. There have been a lot of shows that I've been watching that I haven't been necessarily updating. I basically am just slowly stockpiling everything into the stream.
Yeah, well, you got to do that.
Yeah.
that's a big job, especially this time around. I didn't get to much else aside from a bunch of garbage that I was just had the misfortune of getting to first.
Curious Girlfriend X.
God. So there was a lot of shit that I wound up having to watch because I was just unfortunately the first person to get to it.
I wonder if all the rest of the reviewers see them, they're like, I'll just let Zach do
that. Yeah, we're just gonna wait.
They all do it. I mean, aside from Bamboo, you do things on your own schedule, and you know that's totally fine. You run the stream, so that's different. But everybody else eventually got to this stuff, but I was the first to it. And yowza, like there was some bad shit in there.
Gross.
I feel like we're sort of weirdly hitting like both the highs and the lows in terms of like, wow, they're making shit that I really want. Like, I might have quibbles about Lupin, but, you know, regardless, I'm still going to watch that every week. And Kids on the Slope seems fantastic. I haven't seen the second episode of that yet. It doesn't air until after we're recording this. But and then we're hitting the real lows. The real lows. I thought the only one that I was going to do was Sengoku Collection. I thought that, like, oh, this will be the only... Okay, well, this will be the only one that I see that looks like fucking trash. It was.
What is Japan's hard on with that era? I swear to God, every single freaking season, there's, like, some show about, like, the Sengoku era in which, like, either the heroes are some, like, guy with, like, crazy floppy hair or some chick with huge tits.
I don't know, but for some reason I was okay with Sengoku Basara. Like, I was okay with that show.
There was another similar show, last season, maybe? Or maybe it was a few seasons ago, where I swear it was exactly the same as Sengoku Collection, in which there was also huge tits and some village was on fire. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I can't
but
remember.
Wasn't that also, like, the same era?
It's the same era, and it's the same thing. It's like, I'm Nobunaga. I'm Nobunaga. And I'm a girl? Like,
I have tits?
That's the joke. Which I guess no one ever gets tired of.
I guess. I mean, we don't have the same thing in the U.S. Like, you don't see, like, infinite, like, retellings of the Civil War.
Well, right. And it's not like, there's not like a sitcom idea where it's like, you know, he's moving in with his girlfriend and it turns out she's the reincarnation of George Washington.
Lincoln?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, we don't really have that, which I got to admit, like, if we had that, I would probably watch it.
Yeah, that sounds hilarious.
Whitney Cummings is Abe Lincoln.
Worst shit. Well, now I want to pitch this, but...
Like, Eric Douglas played by Kerry Washington?
Yeah, and maybe it's because we don't have that, and we haven't mined that, and so it seems like it's amusing to us. But now that we've seen it so many times, like in anime, where it's like, okay, you're this guy, you're that guy, like, here's some characters from Romance of the Three Kingdoms, here's some characters from the Sengoku period, like, it just, the Warring States period or whatever, like, okay, like, it's fucking tired, and... Man, that first episode was just like, it literally, like, the half the joke was like, what is this crazy thing? I don't know what a hamburger is, and it's, come on.
I'll tell you what also, like, really depressed me about the show is that in junior high, my friend and I wrote, like, fan fiction that was essentially like this episode, in which the only difference is that we were pulling characters from, like, ancient China because it was, like, you know, Tamahome and whatnot. And then they were like, what is this, pizza? And, like,
In your defense,
this reminded me of my old shitty fanfic from junior high.
In your defense, you were a preteen. Yeah.
That's true.
And that seemed like a good idea to you then. But no, totally forgettable. So I wrote a stupid joke review. And then I got to Upot, or however you're supposed to pronounce
Upote.
It. Upote. Yeah. Which I kind of, it did kind of blow my mind.
You know, I was okay with it. I was the only reviewer who was okay with it.
Yeah, no, and I saw that, and yours came way after ours, and part of me was kind of like, are you just saying that? Because
I didn't even read anyone else's reviews, so
right.
No.
Okay, just saying, like, a lot of times, you know, when you get that, like, hey guys, this isn't so bad, like, it is the result of someone reading, like, other opinions first, and then feeling like they have to balance it out. So I didn't really know.
I actually make it practice to never read anyone else's spring previews.
That's good.
I have not read anyone else's.
Probably the same reason I don't review anything that I haven't already seen a review of. Or let me rephrase that. It's probably the same reason that I tend to not review anything that anyone else has already reviewed unless I'm just really interested in seeing it for myself.
Right.
Just because these are knee-jerk reactions. These are one-offs. It's like, here's what I think about this in 300 words right off the bat.
Right.
So it's got to be, like, my pure reaction to it. Yeah, so you were okay with the show.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, I feel like this is not an unfair question. Why?
Why
about that didn't seem horrible to you?
I thought it was cute. I like guns. And I just thought it was interesting. There were parts of the show where I was actually, like, entertained. And because, like, okay, I've always liked guns. Like, I think they're super cool. And when I learned why American assault rifles only fire in 3-shot bursts, I was like, oh, this is really interesting. So just from that perspective, like, I'm curious to see more, because along the way, I feel as though I could learn more about assault rifles. And I'm not really that bothered by the fact that it's like this, like little girls with clit triggers, whatever.
How can you air whatever the hot?
Yeah.
Because I think I'm so horribly jaded by anime that the clit trigger doesn't even faze me anymore.
I gotta say, like, that seems like you're ignoring what the show is about and focusing on the little things, and you're willing to say, like, Titanic's a good movie if you totally ignore the ship sinking and the romance. Ignore all of that and just look at whatever it is you're focusing on, which is this little thing. Like, that seems like it's really kind of unfair. Like, that's like, no, this show is really good, you guys. You just have to ignore what it's actually about and what it does over the top in every single episode.
I didn't say it was really good. I just said that I'm okay with the show because I think there are parts of the show that appeal to me that I find entertaining. So, I mean, there are parts of it that are like super weird and fucked up, but at the same time, like I'm also not the audience that's pausing it and jerking off into a Kleenex. So like I'm watching this from a completely different perspective as someone else, like that the show is targeted towards. I'm not watching it to jerk off and like moan and pant at some little girl in the thong. I'm watching it because I enjoy. Like, I enjoy learning about guns. Like, growing up, like, I went through a huge phase, which I was like, guns and airplanes, oh, these things are all awesome. And, like, that's – so when I was watching this, I was like – I was actually entertained and felt as though I got something out of it. I'm not saying it's a good show, nor am I saying it's not horribly, awfully sexist. I'm just saying that, like, I was entertained by it.
Okay. No, I can understand that. Like, you're getting enough out of it. You're not doing the thing where you're trying to tell everybody, like, this other stuff doesn't matter.
No, I mean, it matters and it's gross, but like I still get something out of it. It's like I can sit down and enjoy playing like Dead or Alive beach volleyball and still acknowledge that it's like horribly disgusting, I guess.
Yeah, but you get what I'm saying, though. Like so many people try to pull that shit where it's like, no, guys, this is totally amazing. And you totally don't get it if you're focusing on the boobs.
Oh, you know what? If anything, after I watched it, I was disturbed that I was not more disturbed at the show. I don't think this is like, I'm not saying that there are, that people are misjudging the show. Like, no, they are totally, completely, fairly judging the show. It's a really, it's pretty sexist and it's kind of awful. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I personally was okay with it, but that's because I feel like my, I guess, worldview is so fucked up from watching anime for like 12 years that maybe like certain things that I should be bothered by, I tend to just be able to just kind of sweep under the rug and focus on the things that I get out of it.
Right. Well, you focus on the positive.
Right.
Even if that means ignoring exact like what the show is overtly doing.
I think there are so... Okay, so when we were doing that sexist podcast, I remember like we were having a conversation about like what's worse, like this overt like fan service this or this, you know, compared to this. At the time I had said that I have a less problem with overt fan service in that type of like male gaze sexism as I have a problem with the perpetuism of female stereotypes by female characters. So like I would rather watch this like this misogynistic trash that's meant to have grown men jerking off into a towel rather than watch a show about women like climbing all over each other to beg a man to be their husband. Does that make sense? Like they're both terrible, but they're terrible in different ways, and there are some that I can stomach more than others.
Yeah, well, one is basically a centerfold, and the other is this horrible sort of setback for
right
progressive values about women's rights.
Like, right.
One is just a pinup; the other is considerably more diabolical.
Right. Exactly. And maybe that's why I'm not as like horribly put off by Upote as I should be, because I recognize that it's made so that they can sell figures and body pillows and boxes of character Kleenex. Like that's pretty much what it's meant to do.
Yeah. No, I mean, to be frank, like that show blew my mind and I kind of just have respect for it because it's so fucking weird. It is so weird. Like
it's, yeah,
they just went for it. They're like, oh, they're guns. We're not really going to tell you how or why or anything like that. But apparently, like,
It's only episode one, Zach.
Right, but I don't think that's even, like, the big mystery that they're setting up. Like, they made no hint. It's not set up like a mystery show where it's like, why are these girls... Oh, how are these preteen girls... How is it that they're guns? Like, why is that the thing? It's not like someone's investigating it. It literally has, like, an audience identification character where you can't see his face, who is lusting after one of the main character. And they set it up that here's the fetish premise... Like, their sex organs are the main places on a gun where you put your hands. The opening scene is her having an orgasm at the sight of a guy holding a gun really well. Like, it is ridiculous. It's not set up like you would expect something like that to be set up. And it felt like, okay, now we're into new places when it comes to just fucking weird shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's super bizarre. And the show, while I was... watching it, I distinctly was under the impression that the show was made so that they could sell character merchandise. Like, this is a character merchandise show.
Yeah, it does seem.
I would buy figures. I mean, like, of this, because, like, it's just cute girls with guns, only, like, the girls are also guns, but not really. Like, they sort of make a really half-assed attempt to address the fact that they realize that the premise is terrible when the teacher is, like, reading the pamphlet and he's just like, wait, what? Like, this doesn't make sense. But they don't really go into it because they're just like, yeah, like, here's the premise. These girls are guns, but not really guns because they're also holding guns. But it's just a character merchandise show. And I think that's why I wasn't, like, horribly offended by it, because I was just like, nah, whatever. Like, here's a show. Like, that's really fucked up and weird and kind of sexist and people jerk off to it. But I don't think that's as sinister, I guess, as something that's intentionally malicious. Like, this is just a jerk-off character merchandise show. I don't know.
Well, you're probably right, but I think we've devoted enough time to that. As it is. The one that lit the forums on fire was Mysterious Girlfriend X, which I'm sorry, could not get past the spit thing. I just couldn't.
Gross.
I just couldn't get past it. It's fucking nasty. And
why
people
is
are saying,
it so
like,
fucking sticky, dude? It's like the spit that they animate. It's like gooey. Oh,
yeah,
she doesn't drink enough water.
Right? Yeah. No, exactly right. Like, it's fucking weird and gross. And part of me, like, in the back of my head, I have been kind of, because it was such an outcry over the fact that I immediately, like, my review was literally just me making disgusted noises into a microphone. there was a huge outcry about that and people really getting upset about it. And it turns out, like, this is the show that, and this happens, maybe you know this, like, this happens every time. Like, there's one of these otaku shows that we all, or most of us, are like, what the fuck? And they get all mad. It's like they sort of randomly select one of these shows that they're just sort of going to jealously defend and just get real mad that you said anything bad about it. Like, it seems almost random.
But why this one? Why would they rally around this show?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
And the fact of the matter is, like, you know, it was said, like, oh, this is body horror type stuff. It's not really presented that way, like, at all. Like,
no.
The show just seems like a spit fetish show. That's what it seems like. There's some interesting things in there. There's some interesting visual cues, and there's a little bit going on. And it is kind of presented with this sort of heightened tension, almost like a horror thing, but not enough and not quite. And that first episode did not do a good job. If that's what it is, like almost like a David Lynch Crash scenario, you know, where it's like, here's something that's supposed to be really fucked up and weird, and you're supposed to be weirded out, and this is real body horror stuff. They didn't present it that way at all.
I was under the impression it was a romantic comedy.
Yeah, right, me too, except with this horribly disgusting fucking premise, and if you're turned off by drinking spit, you are not going to want to sit through it.
Hearing you say it grosses me out.
Right.
Fuck.
It's disgusting.
What I mentioned in my review was that I feel like I would have been way more okay with the show if they had chosen any other fetish, I think. They could have just picked some weird fucking fetish, like some guy can't stop jerking off with a kitchen spatula. I don't know. But that would have weirded me out less than him just, like, drinking a pool of saliva.
I think you just pitched a show for next spring, and we're going to see the spatula show.
Spatula.
Next time.
Spatula-ton.
The one thing I am going to do is keep an eye on what people are saying about this show in particular. Because typically when they go over the top defending something like that, it's not because it has no merit. Often it's because there's some hidden thing in there that, you know, it's like a plot twist or something down the road that you don't know about yet. And, like, they read the manga and they're overplaying it. Like, they're overdoing it in defense of the show. So it's kind of like you watch the pilot of, like, Lost or something, and you're like, well, this isn't fucking going anymore. What is this shit? Why are there so many secrets? And someone's like, no, it's the most amazing thing. It's going to totally blow your mind. And then you find out what the twist is, and you're like, oh, that is kind of a neat twist. But the only reason that you presented it that way to me is because you knew about it and I didn't. And so you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I agree. Yeah. I mean, there are some things I already like about the show, but it's my enjoyment of the show is vastly overshadowed by the fact that I think it's disgusting.
Yeah.
The way that they just animated this, like, viscous, like,
yeah, I can't handle it. Like, when she's like on her knees and, like, the spit is just, like, erupting out of her mouth, I had to, like, stop. I had to, like, be like, what? I'm going to get sick. Like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with body horror. Like, I'm okay with that.
When
it's done for artistic value, or it's like that's the theme of the film or something like that, like, it's got to play into it. Like Crash, like the movie I was talking about, not the shitty movie about racism that won Best Picture, but the David Lynch version.
Hate that movie.
Not that one, but the David Lynch Crash is kind of this. It's like, oh, here's this really fucked up sexual fetish, and I'm going to say things about it and about sexuality and all this other stuff. But it can't just be sort of tacked on to an otherwise kind of innocuous romantic comedy.
What I did appreciate about the show is I really love the way that they cast the main girl.
Oh, yeah. That immediately stood out. Like, how could you not notice that?
Right. This would be a vastly different show if she was your typical, like, high-pitched, like, type character. Like, that would completely change the entire tone of the series.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they didn't go that route, which I think is part of what kind of intrigues me about the show a little bit, is because I am kind of intrigued by why they ended up, I guess, portraying the character the way they do. That having been said, it's still really fucking gross just licking somebody's spit, because what the fuck? Who does that?
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I guess, like, it sounds like we're both on the same page. I am totally open to the fact that I might be completely wrong about this show, and that it is going some places that I don't even know, and it could totally be something else than what it is. But whatever that first episode is, which is what we're judging, we're not judging it based on scanlated manga, we're not judging it based on anything other than what we saw, I'm open to the fact that it could be something totally different. Right now, I don't have any knowledge of that stuff. And so I'm judging it based on what I've seen. But if it totally turns into something else, fine. And I will, of course, as always, admit that I was wrong if it totally turns out to be this amazing thing. You didn't get to the Shining Bread show, did you?
I did not see the Shining Bread show.
I think that was sort of unanimously decided as, like, the most boring thing that came out.
What the hell is the Shining Bread show?
Well, I don't think anyone's streaming it, so you won't find out.
Oh, good.
All right, so we should get to Twitter. Okay, Twitter time, which was intended to be the bulk of this show, but okay.
Stop. Twitter time.
Okay. Penguin Truth asks, question for the group, what do you think of the nudity in the new Lupin the Third? Is it excessive?
Isn't that the whole point?
I mean, everyone keeps telling me, like, oh, but the original comics, it seems excessive to me. Like, I don't know why she's naked so much of the time. Like, I don't know if they're just pushing what they can get away with on late night TV, but that does kind of bother me. Like, I'm okay with it because she's an adult and her character is supposed to be a seductress. Like, it's really no different from something you'd see on, like, you know, Stars or Showtime or something like that. But, yeah, it seems a little unnecessary. But those are the stories they're telling.
Yeah.
All right, Dragon Zig, related to Eureka 7 AO, do you prefer your sequels to be direct continuations, or do you prefer alternate universes or same world, new characters, etc.? So, something related to something previous that you don't need to have seen the previous thing in order to enjoy it.
That completely depends on the show, doesn't it?
Yeah,
there are some things I want a direct continuation of, and other things where, you know, I'd rather they just, I guess, did something new with it, because then it's a new show. Yay.
Justin, what do you think?
There's really no other way to answer that question. Sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it's a bad thing. It depends on what you got.
I am the sort of guy where it's like, if there was something that came before this, I will try to consume that first. Like, I will try to watch things in chronological order. I guess I can't help it. Like, I didn't watch it. There was an Aquarian sequel, and I was kind of curious about that, but I never saw the first one. And apparently you didn't really need to see that one in order to enjoy the second one, but I will still...
The first one's pretty terrible.
That's what I've heard.
I mean, I tried to watch Aquarian, and I gave up after a couple episodes because it was just that. It was Shoji Kawamori basically making shit up as he went. So,
but he never does that.
I know, right?
Mind blown.
Yeah, it just...
Yeah, no, but I mean, generally, like, with Eureka 7, like, Eureka 7, sorry, I mean, I'm not going to watch that because I never watched the first show is like, what, 50-something episodes?
Mm-hmm, 52.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch the sequel when I didn't watch 52 episodes of something that came before.
Yeah.
Okay. GW Otaku asks, any general thoughts on Yamato 2199 and its prospects for getting picked up in the U.S.? I'm excited to see that, and I don't think, I don't know anything about it getting picked up here. No one's really said anything about it. So, yeah, I'm excited.
I wouldn't be surprised if there were some weird rights things tied into, like, Star Blazers or something. Because that was done back before Japan knew how to do contracts.
Yeah, and those contracts are still binding, I'm sure. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. I hope it gets brought over, but again, I haven't seen it yet, so nobody has. So I guess we'll find out. All right, Baseman PhD asks, this is an on-the-spot, and a tough on-the-spot. Since you didn't cover it in the Best of Anime of the 80s episode, what would be your top three 80s movies?
Oh.
I guess let's just do top of your head, like what immediately comes into your head, like movies from the 80s that you love.
Maybe Flashdance.
Okay. Well, like three movies from the 80s that you love. We won't call this an official best of, but three movies from the 80s that you love.
Flashdance, Pumping Iron 2, The Women, and damn it, there's one more. I'll just call it that. Breakin' 2.
Okay.
Wow.
Bamboo?
You didn't even have to think about it.
I mean, I got three off the top of my head, too.
Why don't you go first? I have to think about it.
Okay, I think my three are Days of Heaven, The Breakfast Club, and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
So yours are actually good.
Your shit is all ironic.
No, Flashdance is actually the first movie I ever remember seeing because my parents took me to a drive-in because I was three and they thought I'd be asleep.
Oh, God, is that what warped you?
Yes. And to this day, I find Dancer Thighs amazing.
Jesus, the secret origin of Justin Savickas.
It explains so much, doesn't it?
Bamboo, I mean, you were barely yeah, alive.
Right. I actually was not born until 85, so most of the 80s movies I watched were much later in life, so I think I have a different appreciation. My favorite 80s movie is Roadhouse.
Okay.
That's a good movie.
Is that
80s? It sure is. I think it was like late 80s, 89, something
that,
like that.
That feels like 90s. Like
pretty sure it was 80s.
We should settle the Roadhouse controversy because this one can't stand. someone look it up.
All right. Roadhouse,
1989. Okay, yeah, you're on the tail end of it, but okay.
When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, that was 80.
Yeah, 80. I think it was like 88.
Full Metal Jacket and The Shining.
That's five.
Oh, we wanted five. Was that
three? We were doing three.
Oh, well then, okay.
You got more than either of us. So, I mean, if I had to add to mine, it'd be like Ferris Bueller and shit. So, a lot of John Hughes. Real cliche.
Damn it, I wish I could go back and replace one of my shitty movies with Broadcast News, but it's too late.
Yeah, well, no, hey, look, this is an on-the-spot thing. We're just naming 80s movies we love at this point.
The 80s movies are kind of a weird period where everything, like, kind of turned a little schlocky that decade.
There wasn't a lot of art cinema that certainly I've seen. I know there was back then, but it was very different.
Yeah.
And that is kind of when film was transitioning from the 70s, when it was still an art product, to the 80s, when it was really not an art product anymore. Like it was, I mean, Jaws changed everything, Star Wars changed everything, and then you headed into the 80s, and then film became this thing that could make hundreds of millions of dollars for people.
Right.
So totally changed everything. That's the decade when we started getting blockbusters. So, I mean, I guess.
Oh, wait. I have that on my list. Better Off Dead. That's also one of my favorite 80s movies of all time. With John Cusack, that's a phenomenal movie.
You're
okay,
right.
But see, I didn't watch a lot of the 80s movies until later, so I tended to cherry pick the more like artsy 80s movies. So then my list of like schlocky 80s movies that I've seen was like usually by accident, or if it was like, you know, John Hughes or something.
Well, John Hughes is not really schlocky. It's just those are classics from that decade.
Well, as someone who didn't watch them until I was in college, they were kind of schlocky.
Well, I'll defend him to the death. I mean, I was a child in the 80s, too, but...
I was a child that didn't get to see anything, so...
Yeah. Okay, Redneck Otaku, what one anime series has surprised the panel the most from this season? Specifically surprised you?
Spit-sucking?
I don't know. I mean, he didn't say pleasantly surprised. He just said surprised, so maybe...
I was pretty surprised by that one. Oh.
Yeah, me too.
Throw up.
Someone on Twitter said, like... Is this show about spit fetish? And I was like, oh, come on. Like, I gotta watch this now? And then that's that. I had a hint. But that volcano of spit at the end really... I literally, like...
So
pushed.
Gross.
I mean, I tend to hyperbolize, but in the review I said, like, I was slowly pushing away from my screen. And I really was doing that. And I had, like, my hand in my mouth. Like, I was like, this is the...
it was like a water fireman's hose of spit.
Yeah, you know what?
The only thing more disgusting than that.
I haven't eaten much,
like, guys. We've done
like the
we've
sound
done
of other people
vomit.
Sorry, Justin. No one can shut up about the spit show.
Oh my god, I haven't even seen a frame of it, and I already feel like I've watched the whole thing 4 or 5 times.
Sorry. All right. God.
Oh, geez, Justin, it's just spit. Get over it.
When you're kissing, technically. Which is only being said by someone who's never kissed anyone, by the way.
But I mentioned that too, in which, like, look, when people are, like, kissing or, like, tonguing or whatever, like, that's one thing. It's another. Oh, fuck. Okay.
They're not gobbing into each other's mouth.
No, you're not hocking a loogie. Like, it's
so viscous. Oh,
Mysterious Girlfriend X is almost as in danger of derailing this podcast as it did the currently, and I'm looking at the list of shows now, the Spring Preview Guide has over 1,000 comments. Which I think is the highest we've ever had for a season. We normally do like 700-800. 1,000, I think, is a new record. Okay, let's move on. And you know what? If I get any more questions about Mysterious Girlfriend X, I'm going to skip them. Because I know it's irritating Justin, and I'm tired of talking about it, too. So, okay.
What if you read a really funny one, Zach, and you have to do spit take? Oh.
God damn it, Bamboo. Okay, Roots of Justice asks, so Kadokawa has gimped panty and stocking by denying Blu-ray to everyone outside of Japan. This isn't the first time this has happened, and it seems likely that future products from Funimation, Sentai, and even Aniplex could be affected. Is there anything we as fans, or Funimation for that matter, can do about it?
No.
Justin, yeah, I think you probably have a succinct answer to this.
Yeah, absolutely not. No. This is this is Japan going, well, we want our fans to not import the Blu-ray from America. That will be a third of the price. We need to protect that money. See my article. I would do the same thing in their shoes. Nothing you can do.
Vicious Smith asks, when someone exclaims, this is the worst anime I've ever seen, do you ask how much anime they've seen or take it as hyperbole? Well, I mean, that's usually hyperbole.
Yeah, it's pretty rare that even when we say this is the worst anime we've ever seen, that we actually mean that.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking as someone who uses hyperbole a lot, like, I wish people would be a little bit more forgiving of it. Like, when you have strong feelings about something, you use your words to describe it. And you shouldn't always take something at face value. It's like, this is the worst thing. This totally blew my mind or whatever. It's how you feel in the moment. It's not always something you need to nitpick to death, you know? I try to be like, okay, well, for right now in this particular, you know, 90-minute span, this is the worst thing you've ever seen. That could change in the next hour, you know, if you want something else.
Especially during preview season.
Yeah, especially during preview season. Like, that's, yeah. They are just reactions. Consider reactions, but reactions. Mike by the Ocean asks, just a simple question. If anyone else had a problem with Crunchyroll subtitles for Kids on the Slope? Seemed a little out of sync. I didn't notice that myself.
Crunchyroll's player adds the subtitles and renders them on the fly, so sometimes just weird system quirks can happen. You might want to try a different computer or just refresh, different browser.
Yeah, I mean, the Flash stuff is kind of
wonky.
Well, it's also, you know, if your computer is, it does depend on your, sadly, it kind of depends on your computing strength. Like, if you have, like, a really old computer, you're going to have trouble with that stuff.
That too, yeah.
A lot of people have old computers. Okay, Hazukari asks, do you think Lupin has the same potential to draw in new fans the way that Bebop did a decade ago? No.
Yeah, not even close.
No, it is a late night show that could only be released on Blu-ray or DVD. We're lucky that the streams that are on Funimation are uncensored. There's just way too much. There's way too much nudity. I kind of wish there was less of it because I think he would have a point. Keeping that art style and the music and everything, it all really blends together well to make a real cool looking show that. It has that 70s coolness sort of to it. It could be more than it is in terms of mainstream success or finding an American audience, but there's way too much nudity. I don't think that's really a knock in the show's favor. It's just sort of a decision that when you look at these other things, it's like, no, it really couldn't be that.
You know? Yeah, you cannot put this on Cartoon Network ever.
Yeah, you can't, unfortunately. Big on Anime asks, do you find this to be the weakest spring season in recent memory? Also, what shows did you try that looked like they would be good but didn't turn out all that well? Basically wasted potential. Bamboo?
I don't usually have a lot of expectations going in, so I wouldn't say that I have any immediate disappointments. I guess I might be disappointed later in the season if shows that I like currently, like Space Brothers, turn out to not be good. So
yeah, I think it's actually really strong. I think it's a strong season. I'm happy with what I've got. Like what's there that's there for me, I'm enjoying it. And what's there for everybody else, they seem to be enjoying it too. So I mean, they seem to be making everyone happy, which, you know, that's good. That's rare.
Yeah.
Wasted potential. I mean, it's too early to say. We're only in the first episode or something. Like, yeah. Space Brothers seems like the easiest thing to say. Like, this could be wasted potential. But I don't know. It's too early. Hazukari, I think this is also just a question for Bamboo. Which shows are you watching from the winter season still? And which ones are you enjoying?
Winter season. So,
if you can remember.
So I guess you mean like stuff that's already carrying over into the spring?
Well, so I guess that's what he's saying. Like still watching from the winter.
Right now, I think the only one would be Hunter x Hunter because everything else is either carryover from fall now or is... will be on in the future, I think, because like Fate Zero I'm still watching, but that premiered in the fall.
Yeah, it took a season off.
Yeah, I'm not watching Fibrain, so that's not that's not a problem.
Space Pirates is still going, right?
Oh yeah, Space Pirates.
which it failed to set the world on fire.
Yeah, it's not setting the world on fire. I still really like it, but I wonder if that's also because there was just such little going on in winter that I was like, Space Pirates. Yeah. But now that there's a lot of good shows, I think, coming out, I wonder if that's going to slowly kind of get shuffled out.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out on the stream every 2 weeks on AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Okay. Silver Husky asks, panel thoughts on Watanabe's return. Will Kids on the Slope meet high fan expectations, or is it too early to tell? I would answer this by, if you're a fan of him as an artist... you wouldn't. What this question seems to be asking is, will people love this as much as they loved Cowboy Bebop? Which, no. No. But if you're a fan of him as an artist, absolutely. It's exciting. It's just, you know, to see a new piece of material from somebody who you really admire as an artist, it's a cool thing. It's good. It's different. It's totally different. But yeah, absolutely. But for actual fans of his, not just fans of Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Scotty415 asks, what's worse thing for a bad anime? It being boring or it being offensive?
Boring.
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 Offensive, we remember.
Offensive, yeah. You remember, and it gives you something to talk about.
Right.
Aaron Sarais asks, are you looking forward to months and months of fanboy wank over whether or not Cabin in the Woods, The Avengers, Dark Knight Rises, Spider-Man, insert popular nude movie here, is overrated, unrealistic, and not totally good?
No, because they're all going to be fucking awesome.
Do you think that said wank will get worse than it is already once all those movies are out? Yes. I think that Batman release is just going to be... I think I almost want to take a vacation from the internet over that weekend.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm just going to shut off Twitter.
Just fuck it. Like, the last thing you'll need in the world is an opinion on the Batman movie. That's the last
thing. That's true. I'm so psyched for the Avengers, though. I can't even, like, begin to tell you.
It's supposed to be good.
It's going to be awesome. I'm going to dress up and everything's going to be great.
You're going to dress up?
Fuck yeah, I am.
As what?
I might go as one of the Captain America USO girls, because that's like the easiest costume to cobble together.
Okay.
It's gonna be all right. Awesome.
Okay. Are you doing the marathon?
Probably not going to do the marathon, but probably we'll just roll up really early to see at midnight. Although none of the good theaters in the area are showing it in 2D. I don't want to see it in 3D, but that's my only choice.
Yeah, no. The early reviews are saying that 3D adds absolutely nothing. So
it's so dark.
Yeah. Fuck it. It's just a superhero movie. I don't think it needs to be. It's not like Hugo or something. It doesn't need to be seen in 3D.
Yeah.
All right. Sewing Rose 11 asks, do you think there might be a danger of Kickstarter oversaturation anytime soon? I think we may already be there.
Yeah.
At least when it comes to video games, I think maybe, yeah.
Yeah. I think for smaller things like literature, people will probably. It might start being more applicable to things like that.
Yeah. I think the Double Fine thing blew the whole thing wide open, and then everyone jumped on the bandwagon. And I think for video games, and now we're sort of finding out the actual reality of what that money is and where it goes and what it does. It's not just they raised $3,500 or $35,000, and so all of that is going into all this other stuff, like. There's a lot of shit you got to do with that money. I don't know. A lot of places are declaring, the Kickstarter craze to be over. But I think that's mostly with video games. And the internet cares about nothing more than it cares about video games. So,
as the consumerists prove.
Yeah. Indeed. J.R. Niemenich asks, out of the shows that are not simulcast, which do you wish were? Me, personally, everything I want to watch is being simulcast. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there anything noteworthy that isn't being simulcast? Almost everything is this season.
Almost everything is, yeah. I mean, Funimation is taking forever.
Right.
But they always do that, so why do we expect something different? Everything I want is certainly coming out. And Bamboo, I mean, it's probably a relief to you that fewer shows are simulcast, given the format of your column.
Yeah, but I just want to point out, I don't know if y'all have made the actual count, but... the exact number is that there is a fuck ton of shows being simulcast this season. There are a lot.
Exact number is a fuck ton.
There's a lot. I'm not sure how I'm going to do it. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll find out. I hope it doesn't break you, because people really like that column.
Every column's just going to be a picture of me just crying and drinking.
What we'll do is we'll commission a piece of art for the banner of the stream. That is the cover of Nightfall, where Bane is breaking Batman's back over his knee, and we'll just commission it so that it's you, and it's like some moe anime girl literally breaking you over her knee.
Someone just has to draw just a long trail of spit.
You know what? Now I think I'm going to commission that. I think we can pay for that. Okay. BMN Users asks, Justin, it seems like more of a question for you. Why do you think Koji Morimoto left Studio 14?
He was a little bit of a grumpy sort. Mm-hmm. Koji Morimoto is known for, not playing well with others. And he had expressed repeatedly that he wasn't really happy with some of the projects that they had been doing. And I think he was just like, enough of this.
All right. Otaku Dan asks, in your opinion, is Upote the worst anime in the last 10 years? No. I think I've probably seen worse at some point. I just don't really remember it.
I watch so much anime. That's such a hard question.
That's a hard question. Yeah, that would require like long periods of staring at the ceiling and deep introspection. Yeah. That would probably wind up in me getting in the car and just driving into the desert. Exodore US asks, any updates on Justin's quest for the ultimate BD streaming setup and advice maybe he can pass on to current shoppers?
It's pretty shitty. There's no good solution, really. I just bought an Apple TV, and I'm kind of hoping that someone can hack the new model so it can play Xbox Media Center. But yeah, right now it looks like the best bet is just get a Blu-ray player that can play as many streaming services as possible and then use Apple TV to stream Crunchyroll from your iPhone. It's bad. I mean, even a PC doesn't work all that well anymore because Netflix is kind of gimped on the PC and Hulu won't even do HD on a PC. Yeah, there is no good solution right now. It's very frustrating.
I mean, aside from just paying for cable.
Right. Well, some of us don't want to pay for cable, Zach.
Aside from just paying for cable. Yeah, Crunchyroll's a thing, but I kind of hope that they're going to put out like an Xbox or PS3 thing at some point.
Well, I'm sure Crunchyroll would love for that to happen, too.
Yeah. All right. Ronan Wills asks, have you ever really loved the first episode of something you watched in the preview guide, only to be severely disappointed?
Yeah. Fibrain.
Fibrain. Yeah, you're right. That really, like, I, you know, reading your column, that thing seemed to really shit the bed.
Diarrhea all over.
Okay. I also asks, what was your most painful preview guide experience? Boy, Mysterious Girlfriend X really.
Oh God, so much spit.
not so much watching it, but just managing the thread afterward. I mean, God, man.
Come on, Zach, spit it out.
I dealt with 20 pages after the Madoka Magica review. That was mostly just pages and pages of people just shitting on each other. But that spring preview guide, man. They really took issue. I Miss Bionics asks, what would you guys say is the newest example of so bad it's good for anime?
Has there been a so bad it's good lately?
Not in my...
No.
I can't think of one from the last 5 years.
It's a real rare thing. Not off the top of my head, of course, but it's a real... That's real rare. So bad it's good almost never happened. All right, AngelXO3 asks, for Bamboo, how are you going to handle some of the upcoming late arrival simulcast for the spring?
Magic? I don't know. Just going to write about it, I guess.
Because you don't already have enough. The fact that there's more coming.
Yeah. I can only hope that everything turns out to be really terrible so I can drop it very suddenly.
Yeah. And then you'll get shit about that, too. All right. Paul Freeland asks, has anyone seen The Raid Redemption? I have not. I keep meaning to.
No.
Anyone? No.
I almost went a few times, but I was just like, yeah, I'll go watch something else instead. Yeah.
The raid.
It's from like the Middle East or like Russia, one of the Baltic countries, isn't it? It's an action movie.
I don't know off the top of my head. I know it's not American film. Yeah,
I think it's Turkish or something.
It's a big action movie that people really, really love, and I do want to see it. I just haven't had time.
Yeah, the reviews say it's plotless but a lot of fun, and I've been in the mood for plot lately. So
similarly, Paul Freeland asks, thanks to Justin, he recently watched Afterlife. Do you have other films of a similar ilk that you would recommend?
If you like Misery, as I do, I highly recommend All About Lily Shushu. It is the best teen angst movie Japan has ever made, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah. They do produce a lot of that. And finally from him, Bamboo, your reaction to the new U.S. national team uniforms, and would you buy one of your own to wear in public?
No, they're hideous because they look like it's Where's Waldo?
A lot of stuff from V-Guy here. I'll just get to these. He sent me, apologies to V-Guy, V-Guy sent me a what seemed like 2,000-word email with a question that was somewhere buried at the bottom of it, and... V-Guy, you know, we love you, but that's a little too time intensive for us to read an email that's that long just to get to a question. So we'll take some of these that you sent in over Twitter. He says, it was big news last year when many Japanese companies split from Tokyo Anime Fair to form Anime Contest Expo. This was sidelined due to the earthquake last year, but now that both happened in March 2012, is Japan now going to have two major industry expos every year? House divided, can't stand. What were your thoughts on how both did this year? Now, Justin, neither of us went.
No, but just Chris and Egan went, and I haven't even spoken to Egan since.
Yeah, the impression that I got is that Contents Expo was much more fan-oriented.
Right.
And had a lot more fan interest. And Tokyo Anime Fair was the sort of stuffy, traditional business convention that ultimately was, you know, kind of empty. And Ace was a little bit more well-attended and had, you know, was trying to attract that particular otaku audience. That is the impression that I got. Who knows? It's the first year, and they went through a major disaster, so it's a little early to tell. I mean, those are trade shows. They measure their life in like 5-10 years, not 1 year. He also wants to know, Section 23 is licensing a Queensblade Rebellion, the death knell of media blasters.
It's not the death knell, but the death knell is probably near or has already happened. I think the death knell is probably the layoffs.
That's what I keep thinking. It seems a little weird to me that people are really hanging on to this idea that Media Blasters is still totally around and totally doing stuff.
Well, they say they are, and people do tend to take company announcements at face value for better or worse.
Yeah, which, you know, okay, that's fine, but, like, you know, they just, they claim Fushigi Yugi's coming out next week. What are the odds that that's actually going to happen?
I would be very shocked if that shipped, or the Kite Blu-ray. I really hope the Kite Blu-ray ships. I love Kite, but...
Yeah, we're not... Yeah, it's important to say, like, I guess we have to reiterate this every fucking time, but we're not rooting against them. We're just being realistic about what's going on.
There were a couple rumors that we got from pretty good authority at TAF that we're looking into about this, about the health of Media Blasters, but I give them a very low life expectancy at this point.
Yeah, I mean... It's just the way it is. It's
buy their stuff now. I'm saying that right now. Buy it now.
Yeah.
Do not wait.
All right. Ludono asks, if you could have an anime character run for U.S. president, who would you want to see run?
Kintaro Oe, Golden Boy. Okay. I think that would be amazing.
Bamboo.
I mean,
anything come to mind?
No, because I actually wish there to be a strong, educated, competent president for this country. So.
That is an equal dream, Bamboo.
Yeah. Can't have been worse than Santorum.
I guess you're right.
We could have elected, like, the Overfiend, and it would have been better than Santorum. He would have hated women less.
At least it would have been sex positive, yeah. Not trying to shame people. ABCB Tom asks, is this a good season or what? Why did this happen? More manga adaptations? How can it happen again? Yes, it's a good season. Everyone's getting what they want. I wish they would do this every time.
How can it happen again? Magic.
Buy shit.
Yeah, buy the good stuff.
Buy the shit you like. That's how it can happen again. Buy it. Pay money for things. That's how things get made.
Import it if you have to.
Yeah, I know everyone hates that. And they're like, but there's other ways. No, just money. Money talks. Like, you know that really ancient fucking saying? It's true. Okay. AJM Karate 717 asks, with Sentai snatching up so many new titles, are they falling into ADV's old licensing pattern, or are shows just really cheap now?
Probably both.
I agree with you. It does seem like they seem to be spending a lot of money. And I don't know how they're doing, and it's not up to me to say, like, oh, they should be doing this, should be doing that. I'm not their accountant, but I know that they do seem to be snapping up a lot of stuff for a company that has stated that they're simply trying to stay in business.
And a lot of those shows can't be selling more than a few hundred units. They just can't.
You think so?
Well, given that Ice Shield 21 was a known bomb, and then they were licensing other bombs, like, you know, Ghost Sweeper Mikami. And then all the stuff they've released recently, you know, a lot of it is sub-only, like, obscure Moe titles that will do, you know, a few, maybe 100, 200 units. But I can't imagine them doing more than that. But then they'll have High School of the Dead, and that'll pay for everything. So to what extent do you want to rely on your High Schools of the Dead? That's kind of the way entertainment works.
Yeah, I mean... It's early to tell. You know, this year's going to be a really interesting year to see how it pans out for them.
Yeah.
But we don't know. It does seem like they're spending an awful lot of money.
Yeah.
That I can say. So final question. This is a fun one. From Wayne01. Not really an anime question, but might be fun. Which Disney movies are your guys' favorites?
Lilo and Stitch is my favorite. We're not counting Pixar, I imagine.
No, I believe the intention of the question is just traditionally animated feature films.
Lion King.
Yeah.
I forgot on all the musicals.
Yeah, I think I'd probably have to go with Lion King, Emperor's New Groove, Fantasia, and the original Sleeping Beauty. I would probably have to go with those. Sleeping Beauty from an art standpoint, the story, whatever, but from an art standpoint, that's an amazing movie. CinemaScope, for God's sake, on an animated movie from the 60s. Like, Jesus.
It might be the only time that happened.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Well, guys, that was a lot of fun. I feel like we've really run this season down to a nub. And yeah, thanks a lot for coming on, guys.
My pleasure.
Absolutely.
Big thanks, Justin, Bamboo, theme song, Bucharest, New Division, newdivision.net, iTunes, subscribe, rating, review, appreciate. See you next week.